That was amazing. Can we all just say amen? Amen. Thank you. Once again, I am humbled and honored to be with you in these challenging times. I named last week, do you recall, we looked over the edge, talked about that anticipatory grief, realizing we were approaching that cliff and knowing it would be painful. And I am fairly certain that I was not the only person, in spite of my preparation, who gasped a bit when I heard the news that the journey had come to an end. There's a new emptiness in our world and a new hole in our hearts. We are fortunate to be able to share this huge loss together and feel the caring and support from each other and from the community around us. The story in the reporter, the notice sent out by the Penn Southeast Conference, and the posts and prayers from so many make it clear no one is on this journey alone. But it doesn't always feel that way. I would like to share some insights about grief that you may or may not have observed yourself. For starters, as the sermon title says, it doesn't go away. While we focus on our common loss of Reverend Sue and the pain her death brings us, I want to acknowledge that her death is not the only one that the St. John's congregation has experienced recently. I am mindful that many of you may be dealing with various other painful situations or close losses, and they matter as well. For starters, I know that Reverend Addie has already dealt with three other deaths in the past 2 weeks. Reverend Sue's is her fourth. That's a lot of pain to be carrying. Ironically, the reason that I scheduled to be here for a second Sunday, back when we were making these plans months ago, it was suggesting to Reverend Addie that perhaps she should have just a little bit of time off this summer. How about if she took another Sunday, which was going to be this past week? And obviously, instead, she has probably worked harder in these past 2 weeks than she has ever needed to before. She certainly has been holding your hurting hearts in her prayers. One of hers and Reverend Sue's many commonalities is their love for their people, for you people. And it showed so much in Addie's posts and the many things she has done to keep this ship afloat. So since I am here and grief is my thing, there are some things that I'd like to remind you of about loss, especially one as large and profound as this one. But what I have to say can be applied to any loss. I realize, looking at some folks out there with hair as white as mine and maybe some balding heads or whatever, I'm sure that most of you have probably dealt with some losses in your lifetime. But some of you may not have. And this may be a more profound loss or a different sort of loss than you've experienced before. And also, new losses can bring up feelings from previous losses and just make everything that much more complex. So I offer these thoughts. Just because our heads know the fact, it doesn't mean that our heart is ready to accept it as reality. A very normal response when the news comes is, oh, I can't believe it. It takes time for the heart to believe what the head knows. I have often described it is the longest distance in the world, from the head to the heart. Please, please do not try to identify what stage of grief you're in. There are no stages of grief. Different aspects, yes, absolutely, many of them, but not the five named by Kubler-Ross, and they definitely do not follow each other in any sort of sequence. You may or may not experience feelings similar to other family members or church members or neighbors or whatever, because no matter how many people are dealing with the death of the same person, no two of you experienced the same loss. Every relationship is different, and so you each had your own personal loss, felt your way. Some lost a mentor, others a teacher or a spiritual guide, a personal friend or a coworker, family member or neighbor, and within those categories and more, there are even far more variables. In general, no two people will grieve or mourn exactly the same way. I intentionally said grieve or mourn because they are not actually the same thing, even though we often use the terms interchangeably. By definition, grief is the inward response to loss. Mourning is the outward expression of that grief. Our culture is not nearly as comfortable with mourning. We do grant permission for a limited number of days to feel your grief, and then pretty much expect folks to get back to normal, which is totally unrealistic. For those closest to the deceased, a fog often sets in that really affects one's ability to think clearly, and that can last for several weeks. So if you have experienced that with a close loss, are experiencing it now, or just recognize someone around you that maybe, be kind to yourself, be kind to them, and allow for the outward expression of that grief. Encourage healthy mourning and expect that mourning to last for months. And the journey is always longer than we expect it to be. If you want to be helpful to someone who is mourning, I have three things that you can do. Listen. Number two is listen. And yes, you guessed it. Number three is also listen. Encourage them to tell their story as many times as they need to tell it. Encourage them to talk about their loved one as much as they will talk about their loved one. Encourage them to feel their feelings. Because there's this basic rule of grief. It is, you have to feel it to heal it. You remember being a kid when they used that ugly mercurochrome stuff that burned like crazy, and they said, no sting, no cure. Yeah, right. You go to the gym, no pain, no gain. Well, add this one to your list. You have to feel it to heal it. We aren't always very good listeners, because when we hear someone's pain, we get the idea that we should try to fix it. And there is no fixing grief. We also often think that there are certain words, if we can just come up with the right words to say. There are no words that take away the pain. If I were doing a grief workshop, I would share some of the things not to say, but we won't go into that this morning. It could get long. I do want to point out, though, that grief is not the enemy. It is not to be run away from or avoided. It is the indicator of great love. How sad would it be if someone died and it didn't matter? We didn't care. There was no grief. Wouldn't that just be awful? The fact that we experience grief is the reminder of how much they matter to us. It is the high cost of loving deeply. I want to add just a brief word about children and loss. I know there aren't many children here this morning, but I'm sure many of you have some children in your life. First and foremost, be honest and be concrete. Kids do not understand the euphemisms that we use. I know the words seem harsh, but say it anyway. They died, or their body stopped working. Not they passed away, or they have gone to be with God. They don't really get the message in those phrases. Allow them to see your pain, even your tears, and the fact that you do eventually stop crying. Often, by thinking about good memories, show them that grief is survivable and let them live in the sunshine. When we adults experience a close loss, the grief cloud consumes us, and it takes a long time for us to feel the sunshine again. Kids live in the sunshine, and they visit the grief cloud. Let them share their feelings when they want to, but don't try to force them there. They too need to know that grief is an expression of our love and can be managed with our memories. Grief doesn't go away, but it doesn't always hurt this bad. Initially, it is in our face. It is all we can see. It is all consuming of our lives. I can try hard to see you beyond my grief, but right now, you wouldn't be there. I'm not saying that time heals all wounds, but it doesn't stay there. The passage of time does help, becomes more distant, and it can still get in the way sometimes. There are some of you that I can't see out there right now, but it's easier to look around. It's easier to find your way around the grief. And this can happen especially if it is combined with support, with listening friends, with healthy mourning. It gradually becomes less intense, more of a constant companion, just sort of there. And there are tools that can help. This little book is one of them. It's called Healing After Loss. It's filled with 365 truths about grief. There is a meditation for every day. It is available on Amazon and in most bookstores. I encourage you, if you're having a hard time dealing with this loss or another loss, or you know someone who is, and I don't get a percentage, I don't get any royalties on selling these books, but I have bought and given away a lot of them. It helps immensely in normalizing your grief experience. So often I have observed people struggling with what they think is wrong with their grief, and all they need to do is realize they are just experiencing normal grief. There are also grief support groups offered by hospice programs, hospitals, many churches, and I know not far from here, there's the Center for Loss and Bereavement over in Skibak that does an excellent job. You can also search for groups called Grief Share that are usually sponsored by churches. You know, we're blessed to be able to find in the Gospel of John some of the ways that Jesus worked at preparing his disciples for his death. We're blessed by the fact that he provided a ritual to give them and us a reminder of his love for all of us. In fact, you'll be using that sacrament here at St. John's next Sunday. He acknowledged to them that he would no longer be there physically, but assured them they would be able to feel his presence. They would remember him in ways they may have otherwise forgotten. The advocate was going to remind them and teach them. Did it take away all their grief? I'm sure it did not. But Jesus knew they would get through this because he reminded them of their faith. You will know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Reverend Sue spent 42 years preparing you for this time. She spent her ministry with you, laying the foundation of the solid faith that you have used to get through other difficult times before and will get you through this one as well. I'm sure you will hear her words ringing in your ears on many an occasion. I'm sure you will also hear those words coming out of Reverend Addie's mouth, for Reverend Sue has mentored her well. The Hebrews passage was the lectionary for today. I like the way Eugene Peterson gets it started as he states in the message, "The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living." May I say that again? The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. The assurance of things hoped for. Faith that doesn't go away. Trust in a God that has welcomed Reverend Sue home and has promised the same for us. We can live with a grief that doesn't go away because we know there is so much more that awaits us because of a faith that doesn't go away, a faith that is even more solid. May we companion each other on this particular grief journey with grace and compassion. Amen.